I'd like to call to order the January 2016 meeting. Actually, we'll be having two meetings this month since we did not have one in December. So this is our first meeting of January. Welcome to everyone. Hope everyone had a very prosperous and happy new year. If you would please join me and stand as we honor America and pledge allegiance.
Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and you may be seated. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear any additions or corrections to the agenda at this time? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Eagle. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda is special reports and presentations. First segment is our good news segment. Mr. Eby.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My good news comes from Glenwood School. The GAP students visited the Brookdale Senior Center on December 14th for caroling and reading of the residents, and they gave away candy canes and cards. And then on December 15th, all Glenwood students participated in a STEM activity called Reindeer Challenge. They had to design, a group of students had to design blueprints and build a reindeer, had to meet certain height and material requirements, and they displayed those on Santa night. And then Glenwood had their annual Glenwood Santa night, and families enjoyed dinners, crafts, and pictures. And funds for the playground were raised through donations for, quote, taping Mr. John to the wall in Glenwood decals. And that's good news.
Ms. Eagle.
And from Robertsville Middle School, each year, the Knoxville News Sentinel does a recognition of young professionals that they call 40 Under 40. And it was a very pleasant surprise this morning to open it up, and their very first honoree is Garfield Adams of Robertsville Middle School. We should be very proud.
My good news is in person, actually. We're pleased to have our Chief of Police, Chief Jim McCaughey, here tonight. And Chief, if you'd come and tell us your good news about the Oak Ridge Schools.
Certainly. All right. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cold, but nothing that's going to prevent me from talking this evening. I just wanted to compliment really all the school staff, but specifically Dr. Borchers and his emphasis on allowing us to coordinate and work with him. And the example I'm going to bring is a school lockdown that we recently had here at SAB. On December 15th, about noon, we had an incident where we were tracking, Nashville Metro was tracking a stolen car remotely, tracked it to Marion, an address on Marion Road. We sent some officers up there, made contact with the individual, had the keys in his pocket. At that time, we did not know who the individual was. There was some suggestion of who he was, and he was suggesting who he was, and we were disagreeing. So there was that dynamic going on, and he decided to flee on foot when he found out that he had a warrant. He headed straight west towards the preschool. The minute that happened, we had officers calling for help. He had assaulted one of the officers. The car was stolen, verified stolen. So that's kind of a serious call for us, but we later learned that the warrant that he was out on his original charge was going armed and carrying Schedule 6 narcotics. So we knew he was an armed, that's what he was on probation for, a violation of probation, and it kicked it up quite a bit. At that point, he's on the ground running, and I know a lot of officers and myself were eating just down in Jackson Square. We all, ditched our check and ran out. We later paid it, but we all headed this way. And as we figured out, he is headed towards the preschool. They said on the path to the preschool. I immediately called dispatch. Shannon Newman's here, and I was actually talking to her and said, let's lock the preschool down. I know Shannon called. We locked it down, and I got to tell you, I heard nothing but wonderful coordination in here. I called Bruce and I said, look, or Dr. Borcher. I called Dr. Borcher. I said, look, Bruce, I don't have time to talk. Just lock it down. I'll tell you later. I'm headed up there myself. And by the time I got there, there wasn't a soul near the preschool. It was locked down. And this was within about 45 seconds, a minute. But here's the neat thing, and it's kind of self-serving why I'm up here. By the time I got here, we had officers on foot. Now, officers love chasing people because they like catching people. But we had five officers pull off the chase, and by the time I got here, we had four officers set up on a perimeter blocking between where he was and where he was headed in the preschool. They were already set up. They were already on the perimeter. I had two uniformed officers. One of them was my SRO. I was there, and I had two officers that were out of uniform that were just running towards the preschool to put a block up, a skirmish line, if you would, on the east side. Let me tell you, when I can call and tell Bruce, I need you to lock it down, and I don't have time to tell you why, and dispatch is calling, and they're locking it down, and we've got officers that are already setting up a perimeter to block the intruder from coming in because we think he's dangerous. We know that he went armed at some point. Everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. I cannot thank Bruce and his staff, and that's the entire school staff at all the schools, for letting us come in and train with them. For working on what to do when an armed intruder comes, but for trusting us. Yeah, when we tell them we need a lockdown, it just happens. We don't have to justify it. There's not a question and answer. It happens. And thankfully, nothing's happened so far. But every time we do this, we get a little better. Every time we do this, we get a little better. So I just want to express my gratitude towards the school staff for not only what they do, but the emphasis they put on safety, their constant coordination with us, and I can tell you I listen to the officers every day, and we have probably the best relations with all the schools we've ever had. And I think it's due to Bruce and his tremendous staff at all the schools, and the school board too. You guys have really given us a lot of support. You've given me some support, and I appreciate it because it's starting to pay off. We're staying safe. And that's what I wanted to say tonight, so thanks.
Thank you very much, Chief. Appreciate what you do, and thank you very much for those comments. Mr. Eby.
I'd just like to say one thing to the Chief. You know, I don't know how many years ago it was that we changed sort of the approach of having police officers come in and, you know, the schools taking care of the actions. And when we made that decision, I was a little concerned. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I tell you, your leadership and what's gone on here has made these people, these students, safer, and I appreciate you for doing that.
And thank you, but it's not me. It's the men and women that are here all the time coming in and out of the schools, and it's the willingness to meet halfway in the middle when we need to, and I'll tell you what, I can't imagine any better, and I know that because I talk to my counterparts all the time, and I brag on the Oak Ridge schools, and I brag on the programs that we have in place here, and some of them say, how do you do that? And I say, it's easy. You just have people you get along with. So it's everybody.
And just before you leave, Chief, the communication is, I think, just as Chief was talking about, can't be much better. Another example, later in the day when this individual was still, we felt, was not caught, whatever the word is, Mr. Lay walked into my office and said, do we have to hold the buses? We can't bring the buses out there.
That was great.
So.
Yeah.
Thanks. One call from Mr. Lay, and I have no idea where Chief is at this point, running in the woods somewhere, answers his phone. You know, we're 15 minutes away from possibly holding kids at the school, but Chief communicates with us, picks up that phone, and says, no, we got him. Go ahead. So it's that type of communication, I think, that people really need to know is happening.
We'd urge you to sign up for that Nixel, because had Bruce Lay not been following Nixel, something I would have never thought of was hold the buses when the guy was down on Key Springs Road. And it just things we don't think of that we need to get reminded of. And we were actually going to hold the buses until the guy was caught. So we caught him. But good communication. Yeah, I remember talking to both Bruces that day, but with good results.
We appreciate you and your entire department for keeping our children safe. It's important. And we do have a better relationship than we've ever had. And it's working really well for the benefit of the kids and for the community. And yes, it's worth signing up for Nixle, if only because on Christmas Day I could call my mother and say, I know your power's out.
Well, and Sergeant Newman, and who's handling dispatch right now, will tell you it's made a difference in there. So we encourage all residents and you know, any staff to sign up for the Nixle alerts. It's real easy, and you can get them right there in your classroom. So I didn't want to take too much time, but thank you. Thanks, Bruce, both Bruces. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. Ms. McLean.
Okay, I have good news from Willowbrook. Mr. Blair's fourth grade class has been named a certified kind classroom. From Random House Books and the author of the novel Wonder, R.J. Placidio. Mr. Blair's students are currently reading the novel Wonder and have signed the Kindness Pledge to use their voices for kindness, ears for compassion, hands for charity, minds for truth, and hearts for love. We might all could sign that pledge. And that's good news from Willowbrook.
Ms. Marshall.
Yes, I just wanted to pass on congratulations on behalf of the board to all of our middle school students who received their devices today. We have we have two middle schools filled with children with tablet computers. So congratulations to the students and to the school system for that rollout.
Thank you. And that's just some of the good news that's going on as we start back in 2016. I would like to say, since Mr. McDonald is sitting over there, he can take credit for this or give credit where credit is due, and Dr. Borchers probably knows where I'm going with this, because this is a way, again, to communicate. I like every time I drive down Oak Ridge Turnpike in front of Oak Ridge High School, I do slow down. I am going the correct speed. I do slow down a little slower to just make sure I can read the information that's up on the sign. And whoever is doing that, my compliments to them, because as Dr. Borchers knows, we had some roundabouts with that in the past, couldn't get hardly anything up there. But every day, and particularly congratulating students, making the community aware of what's going on. If that's you, thank you. If it's not, please pass my thanks on to whomever is doing that and to keep up the good work, because that is communicating the good things that are going on at Oak Ridge High School in our community as well. Next on the agenda is a segment we call Just the Facts About the Oak Ridge Schools. In 2015 and for the remainder of this year, we are using this segment to focus on our schools in our district. And tonight is my night, and my school is Willowbrook. Willowbrook is a K-4 grade Title I elementary school located on the west side of Oak Ridge. Willowbrook was established in 1944 and is the only original elementary school in its original building in the city. Currently, Willowbrook has 480 students. The vision and mission of Willowbrook is for student thinking and learning. Willowbrook offers many unique programs to help fulfill the vision and the mission. The motto at Willowbrook is, we think, we learn, we dream, we grow. I won't attempt to mention everything that's going on at Willowbrook, but I do want to point out some of the things that make this school one of our special schools, as all our schools are. Academic opportunities and interventions. One of the things that they have is called I Can Read, I Can Write. First and second graders needing additional support in literacy instruction may be referred to this after-school program. Add it up. Second and third grade students needing intervention in mathematics may take advantage of this after-school program. Wednesday Discovery, one of the flagship programs of the 21st Century Learning Grant, is Wednesday Discovery. K through second grade students spend 3 hours each Wednesday at the Children's Museum of Oak Ridge. Third and fourth graders have the opportunity to experience the American Museum of Science and Energy each Wednesday afternoon. 1 week students are at the museum, and the other week they are in-house as American Museum of Science and Energy comes to them. Family involvement and support. English Club. in collaboration with the FRC office, the FIC office, and system-wide ESL program, Spanish-speaking parents are offered free English classes on Mondays in the Family Training Center at Willowbrook, helping our English as a second language parents overcome language barriers helps to empower them in the learning process for their children. We love our Willowbrook parents. Once a year, parents are invited to breakfast to let them know how important they are in the lives of our students. Thanksgiving lunch, annually, we invite our Willowbrook families to join us for a traditional Thanksgiving lunch. Our amazing cafeteria staff cooks turkey and all the trimmings for about 750 people. Each year we give thanks for our Willowbrook parents. And that's just the facts about Willowbrook Elementary School. Now, since we're there, we have three remaining schools that have not yet been recognized. Ms. Marshall, you've already done two, correct?
Well, I did one for this forum.
One for this forum and two for Focus on Education, so.
But you didn't do, you haven't done two in this?
I don't believe so.
I thought you did one for?
No, that was for Focus on Education.
That's right, thank yes. you. Well, okay, we have three schools left. So I've done two, so out of the four of you,
I would be happy to do Jefferson if you would like, if it hasn't already been done.
Jefferson, what we have left is Oak Ridge High School.
Oh, okay.
Preschool and Secret City Academy.
I'll do Oak Ridge High School. I'd be pleased.
Okay, that'd be on January, our next meeting this January. Okay. That'd be February 22nd. And Secret City Academy.
Take Secret City Academy.
That'd be April the 4th. Okay. Great. Okay, next item on the agenda is our public forum. The public forum is for anyone in the audience who would like to address the board on a topic that is not on the board agenda. The board does not take action at this time, but may have questions and then may direct the superintendent to provide additional information. If you choose to speak, please sign your name and address at the podium and then state your name and address. You would have 3 minutes to speak. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time?
My name is Marion Wildgruber. I live at 122 Connors Drive. First of all, I'd like to also thank Chief Akagi. My son is in 11th grade, and I would like to say that I have never had a day of concern sending him to the high school, knowing that the SROs that we have there have made a huge difference in the safety and atmosphere of our high school. So thank you for that, and I hope that we can get fully staffed with our SROs as soon as possible once again. My younger son is in 8th grade at Jefferson Middle School. This afternoon we were called to the middle school. A parent and the student were required to come during the day, which was not hard for me, but I'm sure for some parents that was a hardship. I don't know if anyone commented on that. My son got his laptop computer, and I wanted to say some things of the one-to-one initiative, which I have always been a little bit skeptical and critical of. First of all, I'm not a critic of technology. Technology has changed my life, as it has millions of people with disabilities. I do have a lot of concern with the amount of screen time that our kids are having at home and at school, and I would like to see more one-to-one FaceTime with teachers rather than using more technology in the classroom when there is a teacher there to teach. When Dr. Borges came to Oak Ridge and first proposed the one-to-one initiative, there was a lot of confusion and resentment and bitterness in how it was proposed. It was proposed that it was going to happen, and if the budget wasn't increased, then teacher positions would be cut, classes sizes would grow, and there was a strong backlash to this, especially from the city council, who refused to raise property taxes and fund the program. Within a year, an idea was formed to have a pilot program, which was to be funded by funds that were set for computer lab upgrades and improvements. That started in October and continued today with the laptops that went to the rest of the middle school students. During a superintendent council, PTO council meeting in November, we discussed the one-to-one initiative, and I asked Dr. Borges then about the sustainability of funding for the one-to-one program. The answer that I received, and if I am wrong, I would like to definitely have clarification, was that textbook funding is almost $500,000 a year in our budget, and that the idea was that the textbooks would be eliminated by having these devices. My understanding is that online textbooks cost nearly as much as paper textbooks. When this was brought up, the answer was that there is a lot of free material on the internet for instructional aids and material, and that the teachers would be required to go out on the internet and find free material to build their own curriculum, since there would be no money for textbooks.
45 seconds.
Thank you. I don't know if this is really the plan for the future of the laptops, the device program. I don't see any more money coming from the city council. I don't see property taxes going up. I'm conservative in my fiscal nature and want to know where the money's going to come from. I want to know if the teachers know if it's true that they're going to have to develop their own curriculum and where that time for them to do that is going to come from. I guess I've said everything I want to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Seeing no one else, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Agel, seconded by Ms. Marshall. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, under items for action, the first one is our FY15 audit report for the Oak Ridge Schools. Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY15 financial audit report for the Oak Ridge Schools, and you can see the attachment, and I think it's about 140 pages there, so I'm sure you've perused it by now. But I'll have Karen, if that's all right, introduce our speaker this evening.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Agel, seconded by Mr. Eby.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce Ms. Sarah Hardy. She's here tonight from Patterson, Hardy, and Ballantyne to present our audit for FY15.
Thank you for having me. We have completed our audit of the internal school funds and of the Board of Education. We've issued our audit reports, both clean opinions. The audit of the Board of Education had no findings. Oh, I'm sorry. Better? Okay. The audit for the Board of Education had no findings. We identified no significant deficiencies and no material weaknesses in the internal control structure. Further, we had no findings with regard to our audit of major programs. So because the school is a governmental entity, it is required to have an A133 audit. It's a single audit in which we not only give an opinion on the internal controls of the entity as a whole, but also on the internal controls over compliance of major programs. The Oak Ridge City Schools are considered a low-risk auditee, and that is because you have had no findings with regard to major programs in any of the last 3 years, and your audit reports are always filed on time. We also audited the internal school funds. These are the funds held at each school. We issued a clean audit opinion on those. We did have one finding with regard to those. It was in regards to missing documentation on a restricted contribution. Doesn't mean it was recorded incorrectly. It means we didn't have the document to audit it. One thing I want to say with regard to this finding is that in previous years, there were 15 findings in 7 different subject areas. This year you only have one finding at all of your schools, and that is really something to be proud of. When we come to audit the schools and the internal school funds, I bring 5 auditors with me. It is a very high stress situation for the auditee. And Karen and Pat have always conducted themselves with professionalism. They are organized, they are knowledgeable, and extremely cooperative throughout the audit process, and that makes everything run so much smoother. Any other questions about the audit process or the audit in particular?
You want to do this or you want me to go ahead?
First, let me say that thank you, Karen. Thank you, school board, school staff, for such a great audit. There are a couple of technicalities issues with regard to your report, primarily in your organization chart. You have Jennifer Richter is listed as a parliamentarian.
Okay.
She is no longer on the board, and you have Angie Eagle still as a treasurer, and we took away that position.
In fact, there's both parliamentarian and treasurer are no longer titles.
Right.
Okay, we'll get that updated before we upload the report.
And I did call Ms. Richter and ask her, you know, if you're in the audit, then you must be need to come back, I guess.
So I and was she willing?
No.
Okay, I'll update the organizational chart before right. We upload it to the state.
I also had another question. You have the vision of the schools posted here, and I recall actually this presentation that Ms. Beckendorf gave for me the other day at League Women Voters, and thank you very much for doing that. I believe I had a vision statement that was in that was written by the superintendent. My question, as I didn't have the two with me, but I'm not sure they were the same vision statement. Could we check and make sure, just, you know, hopefully we have one vision statement that we can all agree to. So
this is last year's. Does that make a difference? You've updated it.
Oh.
This
and we
last
changed our vision
audit.
Statement from last year to this year, so maybe. Okay.
See what I mean? Last year's would probably be correct for last year.
We'll let you slip by on that.
Okay, so no change to the vision statement.
You
want to get back to me on that?
Yeah, let's look at it, and let's look and see what we had for the vision before then. I mean, we all have had one vision, and then I know we did change the vision as a result of the 2020 program.
Yes.
But
so if it's not the Oak Ridge 2020 vision, do we want to put that in this document?
That would go in the next audit.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll get back to you.
That's all.
Let me also echo Mr. Eby's comments, Karen, to you and your staff for It's always good to hear this audit report and to hear the comments, because it is a very stressful time when they come in, not just for you, but for your staff as well. So the board greatly appreciates what you do, and please pass on our compliments to your staff as well for a job well done. And thank you. We've been, this is your second year?
This is our second year.
Second year. And I would say, from what I hear from Karen and the staff, very pleased with your all's professionalism and what you do, and how you handle going about your tasks that you must complete. So we're very appreciative of that as well.
And, thank you.
I know we did change auditors 2 years ago, and we've been very pleased.
Good. Thank you.
And if you'd pass that on to your colleagues as well.
I certainly will.
Any other comments from the board? Karen?
Just thank you for saying that, and it is really a team effort. It involves, you know, the business office and other departments are involved, as well as all of the school buildings and their bookkeepers and principals. So it's really a group effort. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion on the floor is to approve the FY15 financial audit report for the Oak Ridge Schools. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
We're going to do the internal.
Next on the.
It's two schools. Audits.
Yeah, I've lost my screen here. Let me go to this one. Next under items for action is the FY15 internal school funds audit financial report for individual school locations. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY15 financial audit report for the individual school locations, student activity funds. And again, there is the attachment.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Karen?
We already went through it.
We kind of just went through both of them, but if anybody has any questions specifically for the big general audit, we could address those.
Any questions from the board?
Again, no findings.
The motion on the floor is approval of the FY15 financial audit report for the individual school locations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is extension of contract for the superintendent of schools. You'll remember at our last meeting, we had an opportunity to review the superintendent's evaluation, both his goals that he had set, which aligned to our seven keys, and the board's individual evaluation of the superintendent. Since then, you may or may not have taken the opportunity as a board to meet with the superintendent to discuss that. That opportunity still exists if you would like to do that. And as I said at the last meeting, as I will now, I will recommend the Board of Education that effective June 18th, 2016, the term of the contract of employment between the Board of Education and Dr. Bruce Borchers, superintendent of schools, shall be extended until June 17th, 2020. And what that does adds on an additional year to the current contract. So that would be my motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Eby. Any comments or discussion at this point in time? Ms. Eagle.
Since I had the misfortune to be quoted in one of the newspapers as being the lowest scoring, since we fill out these evaluations independently, no one knows how anyone else is scoring, there's no discussion, I don't want there to be any concern that I want to get rid of you. I don't. If I could extend your contract more than a year, I would. I'm appreciative of the things that you have begun, the relationships that you are building, and the successes that we are seeing. We still have some things to do. You know what they are. I know what they are. The community knows what they are. But we're making progress, and I appreciate that.
Anyone else? Motion on the floor then is to approve the extension of the contract for the superintendent of schools until June 17th, 2020. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, now I'd like to say something. Since I didn't know how everybody's going to vote, but since it passed 5-0, you know, compared to another school system that's very close to us, I think this shows you how much confidence the board has in you as our superintendent, and we do appreciate that.
And I do appreciate the 5-0, and more so than that, I think just the community we are, the five people that you are, that know governance like no other board I've seen, and Angie, as you've said, we've got a lot of great things happening. They continue to happen. We've got a real focus on continuous improvement, and we're going to keep doing that. But I appreciate this vote and love this community, and am very, very content. So thank you very much.
And I would just add to that, and we did mention this, and you did mention this last time, but it's important to continue to mention it. The leadership provided by the superintendent is magnified by those who the superintendent has in support places. And with the changes that we've made and the direction we're going, I think we're going to see many dividends paid from that change. So, okay, next item on the agenda is a low-voltage technician position. Dr. Borchers.
I recommend approval of an addition of a 1.0 FTE low-voltage technician for the IT department. The rationale for this change is attached, and the funding for this position is available in the current budget from the salary and benefits transfer from the vacant 0.5 FTE curriculum generalist position.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
This is a position, I think, as we've had discussions both with the instructional side and with Mr. Thacker, that we have needed to do for quite a while. And with our movement, with using more technology, this type of position is just critical to get the work done that needs to be done in our district. But I'll look to Tracy if there's anything else you want to add to that.
Push the button.
Oh, duh. I know Doug is like itching to come speak about this, but I'll be kind and I'll talk first. And if you have any further questions, we can pull up Mr. Kofer. But as far as I can summarize, the low voltage technician for the technology department would be focusing on things like Promethean boards, projectors, doing things like that. And with our wonderful Education Foundation and the grants that we receive, we on the instructional side need that kind of support. And we have one low voltage technician from the maintenance and operations department who's already maxed out. So part of the reason that we end up having a lot of help desk tickets with the IT department that go unfulfilled is because we don't have that staffing. So we have some money in our budget available because Ms. Cross, who was 0.5 curriculum generalist, is now 0.5 communications that came from a different budget. So there's some money available for that, and then we can pay for a 1.0 low voltage technician. I think this is very important in doing our share of the work to support what the Education Foundation does with us, make sure that teachers can use the technology that we have available but might not be installed. And will ultimately positively impact instruction, even though it comes from a technical side.
Questions from the board? Ms. Eagle.
Well, more of a statement than a question, but in addition to this being useful on the instructional side, it also goes to things like fire alarm systems and other building controls where if we can do this in-house, we save a great deal of money. I mean, one of the examples given in the documentation is that one school was wired in-house. One school we had to contract it because we didn't have somebody available to do it, and it cost us $125,000. It makes sense fiscally for us to have this position.
Other comments? And the motion on the floor is the approval of the addition of a zero FTE low voltage technician. My glasses must be failing me. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is addition of one full-time 1.0 FTE and two part-time 0.75 FTE teaching assistants at the preschool and one part-time 0.5 FTE at Glenwood. Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of three additional teaching assistant positions at the preschool and one at Glenwood. Due to the increasing high needs of our current and newly enrolled children, the preschool requires additional staff to ensure that the needs of these children are being met. The additional 0.5 FTE at Glenwood is needed for student intervention. Title I funds are available in the current budget.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
Charles, you can answer all the difficult questions, but as we highlighted there, the newly enrolled children and additional needs really make this request warranted. We have some students that we're aware of that are going to be turning 3 years old here very soon that will need to be served, which is creating this need for additional staff.
Questions from the board? Mr. Eby.
I just had one question. In your letter, it says we've identified through Tennessee Early Intervention Services that between January and April, there's four children with these high needs. That's this year. I mean, what happens next year?
Those will continue on in our program next year. Then at the beginning of the school year, we'll get a number from TEIS that will tell us what we're looking at as far as receiving children the first semester of school. And then normally in December, we'll get an additional letter from them showing us what might be coming down the pike in the spring. So there's no way to get a year to year. We're talking from August to May. A number or account from them because their numbers fluctuate as well.
So is this contract just through basically this period of time then, or?
We will have to see what next school year holds. For right now, it will just be through the end of this school year. And then we'll have to look at our projected numbers. It may be that we will need to keep those on staff. It may be possible we'll have to add additional, or we may not need them at all. It will fluctuate with what we receive from them in each of the quarters or semesters.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Thank you. Motion on the floor is of addition one full-time and two part-time teaching assistants at the preschool and one part-time at Glenwood. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is FY16 budget transfer number 4, transfer of funds. This is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the FY16 budget transfer number 4. The detailed information about the transfer is attached, and the bulk of that transfer, again, is grant-driven.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Agle, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, the motion on the floor is budget transfer number 4, transfer of funds, second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda under items for action is FY16 budget amendment number 1. This is also a second reading. Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the FY16 budget amendment number 1 in the amount of $200,000. Again, the attachment has those details.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. Comments or questions? All those in favor of FY16 budget amendment number one on second reading signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. Next is FY16 budget reading or budget transfer number five, first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the $30,000 budget transfer as detailed in the attached information from the Special Education Department. These changes do not impact the overall appropriation approved by the city and requires no action of City Council.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Comments? Questions? Hearing none, motion is to approve FY16 budget transfer number five, transfer of funds on first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The next several items are board policy changes, some very minor changes. These are first readings. We will then and can suspend the second reading on each of those, or if we need to bring those back, then we can do that for a second reading, whatever the board's decision on that would be. First one is board policy 1.704, charter schools. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA recommended changes to board policy 1.704, charter schools.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Dr. Borchers. Mr. Eby made the second, and Ms. McLean made the motion.
Just a very small change there in the number of days that a charter school that had been denied would have the ability to fix the discrepancies that would make them eligible. So just a changing of the days.
Questions or comments from the board, Mr. Eby?
Yeah, I had a question. Going back to the clarification, this is actually not on the change, but it talks about forming a team that's going to, the evaluation team, this is under the review team that talks about, and it says at a board meeting in February each year, the superintendent shall make a recommendation to the board of which members of the staff should be appointed to the team, okay? And the team board shall name the members of the team as meeting in March of each year. If somebody wants to bring a charter school, they have to have their application to us by the 1st of April. So is the intent that each year you will, not knowing whether a charter school is going to be proposed or not, it seems like to me you're supposed to identify a team in February regardless, if I read this correctly.
Yeah, line 8 there, and where you're at with the review team, that starts off with if necessary.
But you don't know. I mean, how do you know if it's necessary or not?
I don't have a good answer to that. I mean, yeah, we mustn't let, but we obviously haven't been doing it.
No.
We've gotten pretty lucky, I guess. But
I guess you would hope that if there's a move afoot to bring a charter school, you would have some pre-warning ahead of time. But there's nothing that says that you have to have pre-warning. All you have to do is you have to have the application in by April 1st, and we're supposed to already have our team by then. So we might want to change that or something.
I don't know the answer to this at all, but and I guess I can look. Is that statement a requirement by law?
It's what state? Which one?
Forming the team.
If necessary, we have to have this. Is that a requirement by law that we have that team in place if necessary? If we can determine what is necessary.
Yeah, it seems very procedural. I don't see anything attached to this paragraph that would cite statute.
Either.
You could just stop after line 10 on that sentence after the "and a member of the board" and delete the rest. We can decide.
Could you say the board shall
appoint after the application comes in?
Yeah, could you just say the board shall appoint a review team to assist in reviewing and evaluating charter school applications? Period.
If necessary.
If necessary, yeah.
I'd just leave maybe the first sentence.
And leave the date out of February, at the board meeting in February. It's going to be, you know, I mean, once the proposal comes in, the proposal's got to be here by the 1st of April, but when the proposal comes in, then the board assign a team.
Would you like to propose that as a motion?
I'll propose this motion. Don't ask me a question. Let's see. I would propose that we would strike the sentence on line 8. Application comes in. I would strike 8 through 10 and just say at the board meeting following the application, the superintendent shall make a recommendation which members of his staff should be appointed a team, and the board would assign a team. Now, the question is, we have so many days to give a response, right? 90 days. So if we wait until after the application comes in, we're eating into that 90-day review period. So that's a problem, because if somebody wants to bring a charter school, I mean, we're going to need every minute we can have to evaluate it fairly.
Ms. Eagle.
Go ahead.
Wouldn't it make more sense then just to leave the February date in and have a committee appointed, not knowing whether we'll ever need to meet or not? Because you don't, you know, if it has to be April 1st is the deadline, and then the meeting, the next board meeting is at the end of April, you've already used up nearly a month.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I think we got to keep it the way it is, but yeah, I think we just need to start following our own policy and, you know, February assign a team.
We have other teams or committees, if you will, that we're aware of that rarely meet, if at all, during the year, so we could certainly bring this back
to the
board.
You have a lot of people that volunteer for those committees.
Yeah, that's a good committee to be on. Yeah.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay. So no change there. Any other comments or questions? Ms. Eagle?
Only comment is when we have a policy revision where it's just a tweaking, like the number of days, it's really helpful if we can put that in red so it's easy to figure out this is the only thing that changed. I think that's why there was maybe a delay in the second, because not all of us figured out, is this a major change or is this one word? Is it?
Yeah.
It's not showing up in blue on mine.
It's not on mine either.
I do think, though, technically, you probably ought to, the first 30 there, spell 30 out, and then, because you got 30, the number 30, and then you got the number 30 in parentheses. Should be T-H-I-R-T-Y, and then parentheses 30. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else? Motion on the floor is Board Policy 1.704, Charter Schools. This is the first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The next item on the agenda is to suspend the second reading of this policy. Any reason not to do that? Then do I hear a motion to do so?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. All those in favor of suspending the second reading of 1.704, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next is a first reading on Board Policy 4.700, Testing Programs. Dr. Borchers.
I recommend approval of TSBA proposed Board Policy 4.700, Testing Programs. The changes are in red on this one.
I've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Comments or questions? Mr. Eby.
Yeah, so the change that's in red just changes director of school, superintendent. What's in yellow, is that whole thing there changed, or is that?
That's now giving us the option. Last year, I believe we had to apply for this, Dr. Beckendorf, do you remember? Because we weren't sure if the scores were coming in, so if they weren't coming in, we could waive that last year. I think now they're making that final, that you can just build that into your policy. If they don't come in, you don't have to use them. But Dr. Beckendorf, you've got this.
Yeah. We need to include this in there because this year in particular, we more than likely will not receive scores in time. And the way the policy was written before, it was just that the scores would be part of students' grades. And so we actually need this in here because with our principals, three through eight have opted not to include the TN Ready scores this year. It's just the high school that has, but we actually can't do that until this policy is adopted. So, and this is recommended by the state. So it's, you know, districts across the state are doing this.
Other questions? Motion on the floor is approval of board policy 4.700, testing programs. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is to suspend the second reading of that 4.700. Any reason by board members not to do that? Then do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is board policy 5.305, family and medical leave, first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA proposed board policy 5.305, family and medical leave. Changes are in red, and Dr. Lee also provided a summary at the beginning of that document.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Comments or questions?
Yeah, I can't open my file, it's blocked up right now, but as I recall, there was an awful lot of red in there, a lot of changes. So my comment or question is maybe to Mr. Reddick or Mr. Haygood, have the teachers reviewed this, or are they satisfied with this these changes? I think it's important on this one that the staff get a chance to weigh in before we, I mean, we can approve it on first reading, but I certainly don't want to approve it on second reading.
Well, and truthfully, I'm having the same technical issue you are to be able to pull it back
up
for purposes
too.
Of this discussion, so I'm reluctant to approve it at all until we can look at it together.
I mean, it did open.
Mine finally just came up. But there are a lot of changes in here as I was reading it over the weekend, and I think we want the staff to be sure that they've had their chance to input before we make a final approval on it.
Dr. Lee, you want to add kind of where this is coming from?
Yeah, this is coming strictly from the legal review of TSBA on sort of finessing things within this FMLA, which is a little complicated. Although it does look like there are two or three paragraphs that have been changed, they're very specific to people that are veterans that have the opportunity to use these benefits. And that does not impact very many of our staff people. So I certainly agree with your wanting to get everybody involved in the process. But the changes are not really as broad as maybe the paragraphs look like.
What we'll do then is we'll go ahead and approve this on first reading and then make an opportunity for review of that. Are there questions from the board on these changes as you remember them? I can't pull it up either for some reason.
Why don't we just approve first and second reading next month, since we're going to wait a month anyway to get the final reading? Why don't we just do first and second next month, and this way we'll have all the input to it, and
we can all
read it.
We can do that.
Thank you.
See, here's a whole. There's another page that's just all red.
Okay, then we'll move on. We'll table that until...
I guess we need to have a motion to table it, so I'll move that we table to next month.
Second.
Yeah. So done.
I guess you have to vote on it, but you can't have any discussion.
Right. All those in favor of tabling this until our next meeting this month, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, next we're at Board Policy 6.414, Prevention and Treatment of Sudden Cardiac Arrest. First reading. Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA proposed Board Policy 6.414, Prevention and Treatment of Sudden Cardiac Arrest. Changes are noted in the attachment.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Comments?
Attachment. It was there, I thought, but for some reason it's not showing up now.
Mine did this time.
See, it doesn't even show us an attachment. Do you have an attachment? Yeah, I looked at it over the weekend. That's fine.
Then those who approve Board Policy 6.414, Prevention and Treatment of Sudden Cardiac Arrest on first reading, those changes that were in that policy, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next is suspend the second reading of Board Policy 6.414, Prevention and Treatment of Sudden Cardiac Arrest. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Mine's going crazy. Yeah, I need a motion. We didn't have a mic. I'm off target.
I know.
And get a motion.
So
to suspend the second reading. Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by?
Second.
Mr. Eby. All those now in favor of suspending the second reading signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next is Board Policy 6.402, Physical Examinations and Immunizations. First reading, Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of TSBA proposed Board Policy 6.402, Physical Examinations and Immunizations. Changes are in red.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Discussion.
Question.
Yeah,
what's the objective on having BMI in there to replace scoliosis? Those seem like very different evaluative. I don't understand.
Dr. Henderson, you want to speak to that?
The changes on this one are in blue. You've already approved the one that is in red. We have marked out scoliosis because we do not do that screening anymore, but we are required to do the BMI, which is why it was in there in red. At the end of the sentence on I guess line 9, where it says the Tennessee Department of Education encourages screening. They sent that back saying that even though it's not mandated, we needed to put it in the policy that is encouraged for all sixth graders to be screened. So that's why we had to go back and add that one sentence in there.
Okay, so BMI is a mandate that we already approved. The blue is what's new.
Yes.
Got
yes.
it. Thank you.
Other questions? Then all those in favor of approving Board Policy 6.402, Physical Examinations and Immunizations, on first reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next is to suspend the second reading of Board Policy 6.402. Do I hear a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Discussion? All those in favor of suspending the second reading on 6.402, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is Board Policy 6.4001, Student Surveys, Analysis, and Evaluations. This is a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA proposed Board Policy 6.4001, Student Surveys, Analysis, and Evaluations. Changes are in red.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Discussion or comments?
Let me ask a question. This line 28, the collection of the following student data is strictly prohibited: political affiliation or voting history, religious practices, and firearm ownership. That's an interesting group, but it has a reference to it, Tennessee Code Annotated 49-1705, so I assume it's right out of the law.
Yes, that was a change, and that's, I think the political affiliation and voting and the religious practices were up under the first six that are in black. And then when they came out with the new update, recommended changes, they moved them down to that category and put in the number 7 with the collection of student biometric data.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you. Those in favor of approving Board Policy 6.4001, Student Surveys, Analysis, and Evaluations, on first reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda would be to suspend the second reading on that board policy. Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Discussion?
I would only vote for these things because they're required by the state.
Well, we find ourselves in that position on many occasions, I'm afraid to say.
I just felt like I needed to clarify that there's no way I think BMI screening is more important than scoliosis. And some of this other stuff is just squirrely, but it's required by law. That's why I voted for it.
Yeah, echo that. Ditto that.
All those in favor of suspending the second reading of Board Policy 6.4001, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, as we move to items for information, enrollment report, Mr. Eby.
I've looked at this for 11 years, over 30 years, and I've never realized that we don't have the preschool on here. And I'm sure it's because as far as the numbers that are required to turn into the state for state enrollments and to get our BEP. But I think it would be good for us to have the preschool so we can see how that changes from month to month and what that is. Is that any problem?
Good idea. Financial report. Comments or questions? Moving on to items for discussion, old business. Dr. Borchers, you may have more information than I have, but it is my understanding, and I haven't seen the agenda, but it is my understanding that City Council is to discuss the preschool facility at their January board meeting.
Like you, Keys, I have not seen that agenda, but my last discussion with the city manager indicated that's what would be the case here in January.
And I know that they were going to kind of tie that discussion in with the actual signing of the agreement for Main Street. And now that that's not occurring to the 15th, I think, of this month, I don't know if that will have an impact on their decision or not. We'll hope not. And say, but we'll keep you informed, keep the board informed, and let you know if that's going to occur. Any other old business? New business, I'll go to Dr. Borchers first. The Commissioner of Education will be in Oak Ridge this Thursday. Dr. Borchers,
We're very excited that we're going to be able to host the Commissioner. We're going to take her around to some of our buildings and then hold a round table. Specifically, the schedule is, and it's unfortunate we can't get her to every building, but here's what it looks like. So this is Thursday, January 7th from 12:45 to 1:15. She'll be at Glenwood. 1:30 to 2 over at Robertsville, 2:15 to 2:45 Oak Ridge High School, and then at 2:45, if the board can't make any of those other stops and visits, we're going to have some time with the commissioner to kind of talk about our seven keys, Oak Ridge 2020, and how they align to her strategic plan. That would take place from 2:45 to 3:15 in the Oak Ridge High School Amphitheater. And then at 3:15, we have teacher leaders, administrative leaders from every building coming to Oak Ridge High School to have a roundtable discussion with the commissioner. I think it's great timing with all of the No Child Left Behind and EESA and all those things. So looking forward to some question answers and dialogue with our commissioner.
Mr. Eby.
The session that's going to be in the amphitheater, are you going to lead that or what? I mean, is there any kind of a...
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think it would be good if we had some kind of structured, at least opening question or discussion or something that kick things off, and then I think once it gets going, you know, it will breed itself.
We have put together a presentation for that time period, so that might be what could prompt the discussion and thought. It's going to be brief and quick, but we can the chairman and I can talk about how to open up that session. But yeah, we've created a presentation for her in the library. Excuse me.
Will you send that schedule out again? I know we have, but just as a reminder, send that out again to the board. Yes. Okay. On January the 13th, I will be hosting Focus on Education. I have two guests. The first half of the show, Dr. Lee will be my guest. You hadn't forgotten, have you? And I'll be sending you a reminder. And the second half of the show, my guest will be Jennifer Laurendine. So we'll have kind of a diverse show. With that being said, there are four dates remaining in the school year. So that's a date for each of you. Let me give you the dates and kind of look at your schedule and then email me back. And then I can email that to Dave and get you plugged in. The dates, and again, these are not in concrete. If something would work a little bit better than that date, these are generally the first Wednesdays of the month, but we can be flexible according to what Dave can work out for us. So we can go with that. We have February the 3rd, March the 2nd, and we'll do two shows in April. Since we don't do one in May, one on the 6th and one on the 27th of April. So if you check your schedules and then let me know, we'll we'll get something worked out there. Also, and I haven't mentioned this to Dr. Borchers for the first time, so you need to look at your schedule, and everybody again look at your schedules. We want to have a retreat. We did talk about this as a board in March. Spring break is in March, so that I feel kind of limits us a little bit right there. I would like to do it in March. We could back up to February if this doesn't work. I really don't want to get us in April and May. There's just, we really get covered up then. So I had two thoughts. On March the 9th, we meet at 7:30 that morning with transportation. If that would be a possibility, just to extend that, and we could just meet there. And, you know, we usually meet, it's about an hour with transportation and pick up that meeting. That's just a thought that went fleeting. you're going to be out of town on the next day, the 10th? Well, that next week starts spring break. So we're going to have to back up. So we'll get some dates on that. We may have to back up to February if we can do it, but we'll look at that and see. School board will be at Oak Ridge High School on this Wednesday, starting at 7 a.m. You'll have plenty of food, coffee, and orange juice and stuff for us at the high school on Wednesday, won't you? Sure. Delicious stuff. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking. On January, the board had also discussed this. On January 14th, we're going to do for whoever wants to go and who can attend, we're going to do lunch. The board's going to do lunch at one of our schools. I'll send that as an email to you and tell you which school. And if you can be there for lunch, join me for lunch on that date. And we're going to do the 14th of January. And we'll do that. We'll try to do that at least once or twice a month, maybe, and from now until the end of the school year. So I think that has covered everything, unless someone can think of something else. We're off to a good start, as Ms. Marshall said. Kids are excited. Time to get back to work. Very important ongoings this part of the school year. Next thing you know, we'll be ready for graduation. We hope. So thank you all for being here tonight. We are adjourned.